Cavs and Warriors dominate, Tom Brady is concussed, and Peyton Manning is back. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
This is my jam. I requested this.
You did.
I remember this from the radio.
From the radio back in the day.
You're not an Audio Slave fan.
No, I had never heard of them until today.
I'll sing it for you. Here goes.
All right, go ahead. Go.
Patiently, I'll wait for you there.
I mean, what are you doing here? You should be in the studio right now.
Not really. Sports Weekly.
Hey.
Sports Weekly. Rest in peace, Chris Cornell, Audio Slave, Soundgarden, frontman, singer, songwriter. You should know him, J-Rod.
I do know who he is.
Sorry?
Yeah.
You're in music.
I am in music.
Well, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Eric Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, on Insta Story, and on Twitter, and in the chat room again. 2 weeks in a row.
Holla.
Y'all got me in this
chat.
There you
go. Hold it down.
Okay. I'm chatting right now.
Chat away. I'm Martin Weiss, _ Martin Weiss, on Twitter, Instagram, all things with an at sign, and that's all I got.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Josh _ Rodriguez _. Also follow my sports station on Anchor, 10-Minute Drill.
As always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram. We'll update it one day at BHL Sports Weekly. Shout out to Raina. She couldn't make it here today, but she told me to tell you guys that she loves and misses you guys. What's up, chat room? Okay, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Go for it, J-Rod.
All right, so NBA Conference Finals recap. I mean, I am completely bored with the NBA playoffs right now, and it breaks my heart because I love the NBA.
How can you be bored right now?
Come on, man. Are you serious?
I mean, I understand that we're moving towards a collision. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
So the game one of the Warriors-Spurs series is good up until Kawhi got hurt. And even though the Warriors were down 25 at that point, I always felt like the Warriors were to come back and at least make a game of it. And it was actually interesting to see the Warriors get their asses handed to them.
Don't lose the forest for the trees, okay? I understand that these seven games on either side. Right. Well, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. These eight games total
on either side. Dang.
The four game sweeps either way. Don't get discouraged. Because what you need to do for the next four games, or the next three games and two games, is okay, I see Golden State, I see Cleveland, I see them dominating each other,
right,
or dominating their opponents.
Right.
As we go forward, who's going to win this final series?
I'm actually rooting for them to both sweep so they go into the finals 12-0.
I don't think it matters what you root
for. Super rested, right.
But this finals better live up to the hype. Because these playoffs have been wet.
But we aren't even talking about Spurs.
There's nothing to talk about. So, I mean, look, it sucks that Kawhi got hurt. Don't get me wrong.
First of all, we don't know if Kawhi is playing Saturday, yes or no.
Questionable.
His MRI,
I think he will,
showed
play.
No damage.
Right.
So let's say that they're going back to San Antonio. This is, you know, a must-win game for the Spurs. There's nothing in your mind that makes you think the Spurs can take their first game at home on Saturday night.
Nothing.
Absolutely not.
Are you guys serious?
But to be fair, in defense of all the different storylines and angles that have come out, I do think I think it was a dirty play. I think it was intentional.
Okay.
But I don't think it matters. I think they could have Kawhi Leonard. They could have, yeah, you could have Kawhi Leonard all day. It wouldn't matter.
So you're saying
they still at the most, it would be a 5-game series.
But at the point where Kawhi was injured, or I'm sorry, where Zaza pulled out the gun and killed his ankle, I mean, because that was a very malicious play.
Yeah, it was.
I'm with Pop on that and most other people. You don't think that the Spurs would have won that game?
No!
Get out of here!
I think they'd have won that game.
Yeah.
No, I get they were down big, but Golden State's a team of runs.
Yeah.
And when Golden State doesn't turn the ball over for five possessions in a row, they're going to go up.
But
five.
They had so
three,
many,
at least 3 points.
They had so many turnovers at that point, so they were not having their best game at that point.
I think they would have made it interesting. I don't know if they would have won that game.
I mean, they only won that game by 2 points, 113-111. So you're giving them a lot of credit to have played a pissy game and to still have barely won they lost their superstar.
They would have lost that game, but they would have won four straight. This is not a series. They're so much better than the Spurs.
Disagree. So we do all agree that play that Zaza pulled was
absolutely
dirty.
I think it was dirty and it was intentional.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, but it doesn't also, it doesn't help for the situation that he had turned his ankle two plays before.
True, that's true.
So he was already more inclined to, I think, when you close out on somebody like that, whether or not you hurt them or not, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
When you're close up into somebody's body like that, you go up, put your arm in their chest, you know what you're doing. Whether or not you could have an intentionally dirty play that doesn't result in injury. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think he meant to hurt him like that.
Of course,
he
no.
Yeah.
But although Zaza does have a history that precedes
him.
Now
you want to talk about the full Nelson move?
Right,
and he's popping his shoulder out in Dallas? All right, now that's a different story.
Yeah.
Now this one, intentionally dirty, but I don't think he had intent to injure.
I agree.
So are you guys irritated with Popovich for his incessant ranting? Because he's held no words about how he feels about Zaza being a dirty player. He's even compared Zaza's dirty play to manslaughter. He's like, I don't care about what the intent is. When someone kills somebody unintentionally, it's manslaughter. They still get charged with a crime. Popovich has been on a tear. Are you over it or
no? I mean, his best player just went down because of Zaza. I'd be pissed too. I don't care how it happened. That's my best player. I'm going to stick up for my best player and my team.
My gripe with Greg Popovich is he uses the media when it's useful.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't use the other obligations that are supposed to happen.
Erica's like, yeah.
He does.
Yeah, like, you want to use the, like, you. I get it. Before a shoot around, you're all pissed off or whatever. But in reality, like, that, it seemed a little scripted because you should have felt like that right after the game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he did feel like that right after the game. Not even knowing what the prognosis was for Kawhi's ankle or anything like that. But you, like you said, they were up almost 30 points.
Yeah.
And ended up losing the game. And this is the playoffs. This is the one shot that you got.
Yeah.
So, but that bugs me that he'll sit up and be coy in a post-game presser, spout off at shoot-around where it's not really like, I don't want to say there's not really questions, but shoot-around's obviously less pressure than a post-game or than an in-game interview. And then in in-game interviews, you only have, oh, we didn't score. We turned the ball over too much. We need to defend. To the point where you have people who are commencement professionals like Doris Burke, who's like, yo, I'm not doing this.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to cut this interview off right now and walk off.
Could it be the case that Pop had not reviewed the play at that point closely enough? Could it be that actually after having a chance to look at the play, rewind it?
I'd buy that if it was in like the all the way opposite corner of the Spurs bench.
It was right in front of their bench.
But it was right in front of
him. You know immediately.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you have plenty of time to see and talk to your player about it.
Yeah. Well, that, and the stat could tell him.
I'm sure he's
players.
Kawhi, can you play?
Yeah.
Please, Kawhi, can you play? And Kawhi, like, nah, bro, I can't go. Like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
He knew.
Okay.
Yeah, he absolutely knew.
So, my next question is, Eastern Conference playoffs, what in the hell happened?
LeBron James happened. That's what happened.
LeBron James
The Celtics are just not up to par with the Cavaliers or LeBron James. It's just as simple as that. LeBron James is going to be able to do whatever he wants. They have no shot blockers at the rim to stop him from whenever he wants to drive. They're just a better team, and it's going to be like that all series.
Yeah, basically. Everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the face. LeBron came and punched him in the face.
Now, you guys were saying last week that the Celtics should try to... You, I think, Martin, were saying that Isaiah is trade bait. They should try to...
And if you look at the game...
I think you agree with that, too, J-Rod.
Yeah.
If you look at the game yesterday, to me, it makes sense. Like, Boston, they want to win right now, right?
Of course, yeah.
But realistically, LeBron James is going to have at minimum, outside of this year, two more years where he's doing the same thing that he's doing right now. Year 15 and year 16 will look like year 14 did. Like, I think that we can sit here as sports fans and objectively say that. Yeah. You're not going anywhere in the Eastern Conference right now.
Okay.
Like, Isaiah Thomas is closer to 30 than he should be.
he's right. He's on the wrong side of 30 right now. Isaiah Thomas has, like, 2 years in him.
He's only got a couple years left. His value is so much greater to somebody. If you're a team like... Who? If you're a team like San Antonio, for example, you need somebody to come up. Like you don't know your point guard situation with Tony Parker. You have a guy, Patty Mills. Maybe you got some young guys in there. Now it's not going to fit San Antonio because that's not what they do.
Right.
But I think Isaiah Thomas, full fledged. Like I don't want to downplay him or I think he's a phenomenal player, fantastic player.
Right.
But just realistically, with his height and defensive limitations, he's best coming off the bench. I think as a sixth man, where all he has to do is score.
Or is it possible that Isaiah Thomas could still be a starter in his position? But he's just not the person that there needs to be other playmakers. Is what I'm trying to say.
He can't be your best player.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like he was just saying, he's on the wrong side of 30 right now. He really is. And then you have a number one pick where this draft is full of point guards. You can have Markelle Fultz right there if you want, or Alonzo, whoever you want.
See, that's the thing.
And then I think Gordon Hayward actually might go to Boston too. Reunite with Brad Stevens. You're bringing Gordon Hayward.
Right.
You still can win now, technically. You can't beat Cleveland, but you can still stay top of the Eastern Conference, second,
third.
Well, you
can compete with the Cleveland.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying.
But go ahead.
Like, because even now, Cleveland, let's say Kevin Love goes down. Cleveland's still going to win the series.
Yes.
If Kyrie gets hobbled, Cleveland's still going to win the series.
Right.
Like, the only person, somebody has to put a tranquilizer dart in LeBron James for Boston to advance.
I don't give them any ideas.
No, but so if you're a team like Boston, you know, you have 2-3 years of LeBron dominating the East, I'd keep the pick.
Okay.
Take a guy who's going to take 3-4 years to develop.
True.
I'd get some value for Thomas, some picks and some players. Let Horford get off the books.
Right.
Replace Horford with one of the guys that you get with
Gordon.
The,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
replace him
okay.
with one of the,
I agree
replace
with that.
The height with something that you get back from Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And then in LeBron's year 17 and 18, you have a shot.
Right.
But I think anything that now, you're just building for second place unless something happens.
No,
which is not the, I commend teams for that.
But what do you think they should have traded for a Paul George or Jimmy Butler at the trade deadline, though? Because if they had him in this series, I'm not saying they'd be better than Cleveland, but at least be a series.
See, that's why I still think that's playing for second.
Okay, I don't. I think it's playing to win it.
But here's the thing, that in the West and in the East, you're playing for second for the next 3 years anyway, no matter how it goes. So you can't get rid of an Isaiah and say, oh, we got to get rid of him because we're playing for second. You're playing for second no matter what you do. Like,
if you draft Fultz, you have a whole career ahead of him.
But we put so much onus on these kids.
No, like, you're right.
I do not believe in betting, like, the whole table on a 19-year-old kid who played 1 year in college ball. I'm sorry. I just don't. I mean, I think that he can mature, but in the 5 or 6 years it's going to take Alonzo or Fultz to mature, that's the time frame you need to be competitive with Cleveland.
Well, that's just the time frame you need. It's not even competitive with Cleveland. It's to be competitive with LeBron James.
True.
Like, let's be honest. Yeah. Like, all the moves, I mean, if LeBron went to New York, it would then be to compete against the New York Knicks. Like, it's like,
no,
like
where,
I'm just, no, hypothetically speaking, wherever LeBron is, that's where you're going to have to go through LeBron to get a ring. If, like, so either you kind of wait it out 2-3 years,
right?
I suppose, like, at the start of what you presume to be its decline. Because at that point, like, we've never seen anybody have their best year in their 14th year.
Right.
But it defies logic to think in year 17 he's still going to be as good
as him. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
He's still
going to
be the best
I just kicked the can down the road.
Are we surprised that LeBron looks as good? And if we are surprised, should we stop being surprised?
Yes, you should stop being surprised.
I think we should stop being surprised.
Right, right. And we've had this argument about whether or not he should always be in the MVP conversation. I forgot what you said, but I think...
I said he always should be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah,
I said, though, like, based on what they give out, like, the criteria in which they judge the MVP, I said I would probably vote for Harden, but you can absolutely say LeBron James is the MVP every year. It's just MVPs now, like, who's the second best player in the league if you don't want to give it to LeBron?
Right.
I'll say I don't necessarily... That's the thing in the NBA. Everybody views most valuable player differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I value...
How do you view them?
Efficiency.
Okay.
Like, I think if you score 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, but you're 56% from the floor, I'd rather that than 30 points on 30% with 10 rebounds and 10 assists.
Right, and shooting
low
40s.
You guys are going to stop hating on Russell Westbrook.
I think it's a little disingenuous that the two leading MVP candidates also led the league in turnovers, which is a bad stat.
Oh, Jesus.
Arguably is the worst stat you can have offensively.
That. It's a bad one.
It's a horrible stat.
Well, there's one worse. There's fouls. You only have 6 of those. You can have 11
right,
turnovers,
right.
But they're still not good.
I'm sorry. I will never concede that point because, as I say every week, the more shots you take in life, the more you miss. And if you're the only man on campus, you're the only person who can will your team to victory day in and day out, you're going to have
Erica,
the most mess
up. Erica, it's not the more you make, the more you – listen, if you take 50 shots, if Russell Westbrook takes 50 shots, he's hitting 18, 20 of them. If LeBron takes 50 shots, he's hitting at least 28, maybe 30.
But LeBron doesn't have to take 50 shots because he has a team of horses around him who can score as well
but
as
does,
he can.
But if he did –
But he
wouldn't.
But he doesn't have to.
But it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to. Listen,
it does.
It does. The shots you take matter, Erica. They matter. You can't just come down and take a three with 18 seconds left on the shot clock. It's terrible.
You keep
shot selection.
You keep going to that example.
You can take 30 shots, but they have to be smart shots, good shots, create a better shot. You don't have to come down and just chuck a three out of nowhere.
It makes no sense.
Or take a fade with two people on you.
You act like Russ takes bad shots every fucking look.
He does. Not every look, but he does take a lot of bad shots every game. And he shoots a lot of three-pointers for a person who does not shoot three-pointers very well.
So who should he depend on? To?
I'm not saying he shouldn't shoot the ball. I'm saying be smarter about your shots. Because bad shots are just as bad as turnovers to me.
Okay.
A three-pointer from 30 feet out with 17 seconds left on the shot clock is a turnover.
I still agree that LeBron should always be the number one person in the MVP regular season combo.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that, though. Like, there may be I don't agree with that. Like, there may be a player that's...
Who?
Like, would you say...
Who?
All right. Now, I'll say Cleveland this year was the most valuable player to LeBron this year was the most valuable player to Cleveland. Just look at what he did when he wasn't there. But I don't think.
And see, and that's a key point. And so you're saying, in one breath, you say you judge MVP based on the efficiency. But then you say, oh, look how poorly the Cavs did when LeBron wasn't there. So which is it? Are you judging on efficiency? Or are you judging on how the
team... But those 2 points aren't mutually exclusive. When LeBron plays, he's the most efficient player in basketball.
Okay.
When he doesn't play, the Cleveland Cavaliers lose.
Okay, so
those two things, that makes sense.
So when Harden's not on the court and when Westbrook's not on the court,
their ratings go up.
What do you mean?
The team's ratings go up.
But they lose though. They lose like when in the playoffs.
They lose with them.
Oh my god.
that's what I'm saying. If they lose with him, all right, let's work this through.
Okay, let's
do it. They lose with Harden and Westbrook on the court. They get better. The teams get better. Statistically, I'm not even a numbers guy.
I'm not even a super numbers guy, but the Rockets had a better record, I think, regular season than did the Cavs. I'm pretty freaking sure they did.
Not to like turn anybody off from the nerves, but look at defensive win shares when Harden and Westbrook are not on the court for the Thunder and for the Rockets.
I'm talking about winning and losing games. I'm not talking about stat lines. I'm talking about winning, like win-loss column. When Harden was not on the court, they did not win games. When Russell Westbrook...
When LeBron didn't play for Cleveland, they were like 1-9.
Okay, so we're making the same point. So I'm saying that, yeah, you're judging efficiency and you're judging the player being action.
When LeBron did play, when LeBron played, when Kawhi played, when Russell Westbrook played, when James Harden played, LeBron by far was the most efficient. the best defender.
But they still lost games because their record wasn't better than the Rockets.
All right, so now where are we getting? Where,
she's basically saying, since the Rockets had a better record, that James Harden was probably more valuable.
Well, the Rockets have better players.
If you're going to go by that criteria.
The Rockets have better players.
Did they?
I don't agree with that.
Did they, Martin?
The Rockets better players than
Cavs? Than the Cavaliers? Than Tristan and freaking Kevin Love?
You mean to tell me that the team that had two people in the six-man-of-the-year competition?
Two six-men.
There are three people that can score the ball on Cleveland. Two, really. And three, and the third one can get the ball in the post. Kevin Love.
But okay.
J.R.
Smith can score sporadically.
J.R. needs somebody to give him the ball.
Tristan can't shoot. Okay.
J.R. needs somebody to give him the ball. I'm talking about two guys who on the team that can go and get their own buckets.
Get their own shot.
Kyrie can get his own bucket, and LeBron can get his own bucket.
Kevin Love can.
And Kevin Love can, too.
Kevin Love can, man.
It's on the rundown Kevin Love big game because he doesn't normally do it. What are we talking about?
Kevin Love only, in postseason, he only averaged 13.8 points per game in postseason.
There we go.
But that doesn't mean he's not valuable throughout the regular.
No, but I'm just saying. You mean to tell me that a team that has Eric Gordon and Lou Williams.
Thank you, Gamer Girl. Gamer, I'm sorry. Hey, chat room. I forgot to include you guys.
You've been neglecting them.
I'm neglecting you guys. Demo, Gamer Girl says the Rockets do not have better players, Martin. Thank you, Gamer Girl. And Demo says they lose without them out. They lose with them out.
All right, quick question. Take Harden off the Rockets.
Okay.
And take LeBron off the Cavs and switch them. Who's got the better record?
Wait. Take Harden off the Rockets.
And put LeBron off the Cavs and put him on the Rockets. Who's got the better record?
The Cavs.
Next!
No, LeBron, man. LeBron's the Rockets. LeBron would make...
And why?
LeBron
why?
Because he's the best player in the world.
But why... But why would... If the Rockets didn't have the better record in the regular season, I don't know this for a fact. I'm going off what Eric said.
They're their best.
Okay,
team.
So the Rockets had the better record than Cleveland in the regular season. Why, then, if you take Harden off and put LeBron on, their record will be better? Why?
LeBron's a better player. It's just as simple as that.
So then why wasn't his record better in Cleveland? Why wasn't it better than Houston and Cleveland?
He's saying because of the supporting cast.
Because of the other players on the team. LeBron gets 7 assists a game, and the only people on this team who can shoot is Kyrie, Kevin Love, and J.R. Smith. And, like, I mean, what are we talking about?
Channing Frye can hit the three.
Channing Frye. I take that back. I'm talking, but like, you mean to tell me you give LeBron Trevor Ariza, Patrick Beverley, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams,
but my
Brian
thing is,
Anderson?
Kyrie and Kevin Love are so much better than what James Harden has as a second option.
I put Brian, Kyrie, Kevin Love is very much in the
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love was like y'all.
It's like Chris Bosh in Miami.
Right,
Chris Bosh
exactly.
was the third player in Miami, and he had to take a step back, and he wasn't.
But Chris Bosh defends.
Right, okay. And Kevin Love is terrible in defense. I get that, but let's not act like Kevin Love can't put up 20-20 if anyone.
Well, let's talk about Kevin Love's big game then.
All right.
Okay. Let's go back to Kevin Love's big game. Okay.
Kevin Love.
So Kevin Love had 32 points, 12 rebounds. 32 points, 12 rebounds in game one against the Celtics. What do you want to say about it?
I would just say I think it goes again to show why LeBron is so important. No, but seriously though,
we all agree that LeBron was super important and is always super important.
But if you watch. The person who was supposed to be checking Kevin Love was checking LeBron most of the time. You had Amir Johnson guarding LeBron.
But they put, they put everybody on LeBron.
But I mean,
it's because of LeBron.
That's why Kevin
Demo
Love
says that Kevin Love is underrated.
I think Kevin Love is accurately rated. Like, I don't think I'm not saying he's trash.
He's more just a shooter now. That's really what he is.
He's not.
He doesn't have to do what he did in Minnesota.
He doesn't have to do. Yes, thank you.
But he can.
For articulating that for me,
he can. But he doesn't have to anymore. He's just a shooter now.
I tend to think
that's really all he is.
When you have players like a Kevin Love that are really good, quote on bad teams, somebody has to score 20 some points a game. It's somebody's going to.
And that's what I say about Russell Westbrook on OKC and James Harden and the Rockets. Somebody has to score.
No. I'm not saying those are transcendental talents. I'm saying if you're a team like the Philadelphia 76ers,
right,
someone's going to score 20 points a game.
If you're a team like OKC, if you're a team like the Rockets who are coached by D'Antoni.
Like someone's scoring 20 points a game for the Orlando
Magic. Eddie Curry averaged 20 points a game for my Knicks back in the day. No, he did. Like he really did.
So it's like I don't really try to take too much into what Kevin Love did in Minnesota. I'd look at Kevin Love when he's on a championship level team and see what he does.
He's not the best player in a championship team, but he's
not the best player on a championship team.
I think he can ball.
I think he can too. Y'all, there, someone to my left is hating.
No, he thinks he can ball. He just doesn't think he can ball as much as we think he can ball.
So someone in the middle of this table.
if we took the starting five from Houston and Cleveland, Kevin Love is somewhere after four, before seven.
No, he's definitely a starter. He's definitely not second team.
No, if we took those 10 players.
LeBron, Harden, Kyrie, Love. Who's better than Love?
I think he's
on the same level of like a Trevor Ariza.
Come on, man. Are you serious?
Show me the numbers. Show me I'm wrong.
Look at what he did in Minnesota. He killed it in Minnesota.
Guys, now we're going to...
It's just his role in Cleveland.
Big deal or not. This is the part of the show where we talk about...
Why are you moving on?
whether these topics are a big deal or not. Giselle.
No.
No.
So it's not a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Giselle claims on CBS this morning that Tom Brady had a concussion last year. Her exact quote was, he has a concussion every year. He had a concussion last year. And Tom Brady... I can't say. The NFL... released a statement saying that they value the health and safety of their players right after this Giselle interview aired. They also said that Tom Brady has never was not on the concussion list as having had a concussion last year. So basically they immediately came out and refuted everything that Giselle said on the CBS morning show. So is it a big deal or not that Giselle got on live national television on CBS this morning and said that Tom Brady has concussions every single year and that he had one last year, but yet he was not listed on the injury report, big deal or not?
Yeah, it's huge.
I'd say it's a big deal too.
Yeah, because he's the quote unquote. You know, I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but you know, he's the quote unquote greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
And why are you hiding his concussions if you know he's having concussions? There's something more to this.
I don't think there's any need for quotes around that, but I think it's a big deal because concussions is a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whether or not he was actively concussed or not, whether he got a concussion playing football or not, because you can get concussions doing other things besides playing football.
Well, he lived such a straight and narrow life. I don't know what else he could have been doing.
I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking. But maybe he tripped over his avocado ice cream.
But you know, that's not what Giselle was alluding to.
I get that. Okay. But you have somebody, she's not a doctor. She's not, and I get that's her husband, and she sees him more than most people and interacts with him, I'd imagine, much more than most people.
Yeah.
But, okay. You know, it's something, that's somewhere where you have somebody as a family member who cares about you, who's one that looks out for your best interest, that type of thing. I don't necessarily
think. Tom's been distant. Tom hasn't been talking to me as much.
I don't think that, like, do concussions happen? Yes. Are they unreported? Yes.
Right.
Like, I think it's a bigger deal that it's the word concussion. Like if she had said Tom sprained his ankle or Tom has a hurt leg, his back hurts every day, we would just look at it and say that's football, which is really honestly what we should do when we look at concussions.
But if there is any validity to what she's saying and the league and the team did know that he was concussed, that is a huge deal.
And I say it's a huge deal too. Chat room says that D says it's a big deal. Gamer Girl says it's important that the NFL likes to cover up this stuff then just go look at the movie Concussion. I think it's a big deal because Tom Brady is, you know, held in such high esteem as the Golden Boy, his super clean diet, his super model wife, everything about what he does is supposed to be perfect.
He cheats.
And, you know, you got the Tuck Rule, you got Spygate.
I thought you meant on his wife. I was like, wow,
he probably does that too. He probably does that.
I was like, wow, jeez. Let's keep it on the field.
Right,
keep it between the lines. I mean, golly.
But I think it's a big deal because this is consistent with the shady nature, the shady winning nature of Pat's Nation and of Bill and of what Bill Belichick will do at any cost to win. And I mean, listen,
it's fair. That's fair.
Concussions do go unreported, but if you're Tom Brady's sexy golden boy NFL poster boy quarterback has a concussion and he can't play, like that, that deviates from the image that Bill Belichick wants to create or that the NFL itself promotes.
More so, I think the image that the NFL promotes. I don't think Bill Belichick cares about his image. He wants to win. Right. Evidenced by his numerous questionable free agent signings.
Like Aaron Hernandez back in the day?
That was a draft pick, but there you go. But the thing with the I think concussions is just the buzzword. Like, it's because everybody's so concerned about concussions and the long-term impact of them. I think that's why it's a big deal. I don't think I think people should know that concussions come from football. They're a direct result of football, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you can delay the concussions, but it's like saying you want to sprain your ankle in basketball. No matter what you do, you tape it, you put the brace on it, whatever, Zaza might run up underneath you, and you might get twisted, no matter what happens.
Demo says it's a big deal, and she would like for Tom Brady to comment on this. And you know what? I'm with you, Demo, because you're downplaying Martin concussions as if it's just a buzzword. But like you said, with CTE, with the long-term repercussions of concussions, it's not like, oh, Tom Brady, you know, my husband has a thumb sprain or an ankle sprain. Yeah. Like, this is his brain. And if his brain injuries are not being reported repeatedly, that's a big deal more than it just being a buzzword.
Let's launch an investigation. Like, another one.
Let's do it.
I also wonder how it could go unreported.
Easy.
But I'm saying if it was a situation where, like, obviously if it was a slight concussion and there's varying degrees of such, but if it was a slight concussion and there was no visible issue,
you still have to report that though.
I mean, no, I'm saying that's easy to unreport. Okay, I'd imagine. I'm saying if it's something where, I mean, we all watched the 12 games that Tom Brady played. No, right? You know,
he was unbelievable.
Actually. I'm saying we all watched it. There's no sign of him having any type of concussion. It'd be different if there was like a moment I could point to and say, you know, if it did happen on 3rd and 7 when he got, you know, he was handing the ball off and he got chucked and then all of a sudden something like that, then that's unreported and I don't have nothing. But at no point during last year do I remember him taking a shot thinking, oh, he shouldn't be in the game. Like, you want to talk about unreported concussions? Matt Moore, the Dolphins quarterback against the Steelers in the playoffs, took a shot. He was like 7 for 7 or 8 for 8 or 7 for 9 or something like that. Took a shot and then literally did not complete a pass for the next 5 passes. Threw 2 interceptions and like over like 7 minutes of game time looked like completely inept. Now that was unreported. I hear Matt Moore's wife talking. You know, my husband has a concussion. Right. Then I'm like, okay, this is a bigger deal.
Right.
But it's like, I didn't see anything out of, like, in it. Maybe that's just me.
That makes sense. There's no evidence of Brady having, God, that makes sense.
Gamer Girl says, Tom is not a spring chicken either. And then Demo says, Brady always brushes everything off with a cheesy smile and it's very annoying. And I want to say that not only is he not a spring chicken, but could it be the case that because he lives such a clean life, he doesn't really take a lot of hits and he eats so super clean that maybe thumping him gives him a concussion. So maybe it doesn't take like a major super, you know.
I don't pretend to know.
I don't know. I'm not a
doctor. Like, I feel like that's kind of like concussions is kind of like drinking. Like, shots have effect on everybody.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe because, you know, Tom Brady doesn't eat meat and he eats his avocado ice cream, maybe the smallest thing can give him a concussion versus what could give me a concussion.
That's one hell of a theory.
That is beef. It helps your head.
Right. Listen, big deal or nah, World Series champ and former Chicago Cub catcher David Ross is in Monday night's Dancing with the Stars finale. And then Wednesday of next week, he starts his job as an ESPN analyst for MLB. Is this a big deal?
I would go with it's not a big deal, but I absolutely loved David Ross as a player.
Me too.
So, Go ahead, get that money. Yeah, get that check, bro.
I don't know, it's Dance with Stars. I mean, it's every year, it's not a big deal.
I don't watch Dance with Stars.
Exactly, therefore, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to us. We don't watch it.
I'll say this. I admittedly do not also watch Dancing with the Stars. But last year, I know Calvin Johnson was on it.
Right.
So now David Ross, Calvin Johnson.
Rashad Jennings, too.
Probably less of a... Okay.
They well, have athletes. Evander Holyfield do it 1 year?
But Calvin Johnson, David Ross, you know what I'm saying? It's probably less of a big deal. Like, if I was a Dancing with the Stars type of guy, I would probably think, not a big deal.
I could care less.
I think it's a big deal. Well, he's from Georgia. He's from Bainbridge, Georgia, which is southwest Georgia.
Go Doug Sikkim.
So, well, he didn't go to UJ. He went to Auburn. He went to Florida, so he's in Miami. But I think it's
play
a big
deal.
Our Diamond Dogs are...
That's what you call them, Diamond Dogs?
Every sports team is a dog. Like, dance team, we're Dance Dogs. Gymnastics team, they're the Gym Dogs, the Hoop Dogs. So the Diamond Dogs.
I would not want to be called a Diamond Dog.
Why? You play on the diamond.
I'm not. I get the logic.
Okay. I think it's a big deal because I think that...
Kind of feels like a male romper.
I like male rompers.
Oh, come on, okay. Erica. Are you kidding me?
Hold on, male rompers. Let's ask the chat room.
Because Westbrook wears them, that's why.
What do y'all think? No.
Could you catch Russell Westbrook wearing
them? I know Cam Newton had to be pissed. Yeah. Everybody's talking about rompers. Like, yo, I did this 8 months ago.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, back in the 90s, like, guys were wearing, like, OPP, like, what, that video, Naughty by Nature? Like,
always comes back.
Rappers
always
were wearing
back.
Male rompers in the 90s.
Retro always comes back.
What's wrong
always.
With male rompers?
People were wearing dad's hats in the 90s, too.
Dickie suits were male rompers.
Neither.
Yes.
Okay.
Salvation Army.
This is all you guys. Celtics, Lakers, 76ers go 1, 2, and 3 in the NBA draft lottery. Big deal or not?
Of course it's a big deal.
I think it's absolutely a huge deal.
You're determining the top 3 picks in the draft. I mean, this is team's futures right here. Sucks getting number 1 pick.
Okay.
That's huge. Lonzo's probably going to Los Angeles. That's huge. That's not huge that Lonzo's going to Los Angeles probably.
But is he going
the Celtics trusting the Sixers trusting the process. Continuing to build.
Oh, how about
this is huge.
How about the Mavs trusting the process too, and Mark Cuban admitting that they tanked the rest of the season? I thought that was interesting.
I mean, he's just admitting what everyone knows.
Yeah, I don't. That's like somebody saying they might have had a concussion after a football game. no kidding, pal.
Mr. Regman says, "Nah, just who's who of the last 6 months or decades." I missed something. Demo says, "Dancing with the Stars, nobody cares." She says, "It's not a big deal." Demo says, "Male rompers, you have to have a certain body type to pull it off."
And I don't have it.
Do you guys want to see J-Rod and Martin?
Let me ask. I feel like what they're going to say is like a muscular, you know. You can't be like, but I feel like that's how you got to play off most things.
Is it a muscle thing? I don't have that.
I mean, in full disclosure, I gave him my jacket today because I wasn't letting those guns out.
That's a little behind the scenes thing.
No, I'm just. What is the right body type? What is the right body type for a male romper?
They want to know, chat room, what's the right body type for a male romper?
Lean and athletic.
So talk some more about Celtics, Lakers, 76ers, or there's nothing else to say? Or is there anything else to say?
It's just reshaping what the NBA is going to be, basically, in a couple of years. Because, I mean, the Lakers and Sixers are both in rebuilding mode, and I think they have – I don't think the Lakers so much, but the Sixers have a legitimate shot to be a powerhouse in the East, I think, if Embiid stays healthy.
Okay.
If Simmons turns out to be –
I don't trust Simmons.
In a couple – I'm talking about when LeBron's prime is over. I'm talking 3-4 years. I'm not talking like
– powerhouse asterisk post-LeBron.
Right. Like teams like the Bucks are going to have like a nice run later on.
Right.
Like Sixers, I think, are going to take a couple years, but it's gonna happen. And the Celtics, I mean, if they get Markel Fultz, I mean, they can stay around for a long time. I think this is huge. And then Lonzo can start the rebuilding process in Los Angeles because I don't like who they have right now. They don't have a star. They don't have anyone you can build around. And I think getting Lonzo, you can finally have that quote-unquote possible star. I think his ceiling's really high that you can build around. So it's huge.
Oh, for me, I guess I look at it. Right now, we're in the LeBron era.
Yeah.
You know, like we had the Jordan era for a while. Then we're in the LeBron era. And I think what's big about this is if you look at the young teams in the NBA that you're excited about, it's a team like Minnesota. It's a team like Philadelphia. Or it's a team like, you just said it, Eastern Conference.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's a team like Milwaukee. Yeah. The smaller markets. What's going to be big here is like right now you have an opportunity for L.A. to catapult themselves back up to post. Like again, mind you, asterisk, after LeBron's gone, to then now throw yourselves into the conversation. You're a team like Philly. You can throw yourself into the conversation.
Yeah.
2-3 years down the line. That's why I think it's a big deal. Like if the Orlando Magic got this pick, it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be. And as far as the West is concerned, I think it was really interesting. I like to say that Lakers fans of today are as delusional as Trump supporters because they were so crunk, so lit at Tom's Urban at LA Live, and they've been doing this every year, getting so crunk about these draft picks and what have your draft picks. And I know it's a combination.
I think this is a legitimate one, though. I really do. I think he is something to get excited about.
Just like we say in the East. Or just in general, this is LeBron era right now. The Lakers have 10 other teams to battle for just the seventh, eighth, or ninth spot.
It's the Warriors' era in the West, too.
I agree with you. I agree. But the Lakers, even if they rebuild with Lonzo, even if Lonzo ends up being, you know, the second coming of Kobe, whatever, they still have several teams to.
Is Shaq around the corner? Well, with the second coming of Kobe?
I mean, you know, but, you got some issues. I mean, if you were to ask free agents where they want to play, Los Angeles is definitely always a top destination. So they can easily get, like, Paul. I'm not saying Paul George is going to go to Los Angeles, but they can rebuild pretty quickly. It's not like they can't.
We've been people, not me, but Lakers fans and people who are drinking the Lakers Kool-Aid from early 2000s and Showtime Lakers days have been saying that for the past 5, 6, 7 years. I don't see how adding Lonzo is going to make them a real contender in the West.
Well, not now. I mean, but it's a step. It's a process.
Okay.
I do think that Lonzo Ball is going to come in day one and be a player, though.
God. Yeah. Y'all have a lot of faith in these kids.
Going.
I don't.
He can play.
Really good.
I'm not saying he can't play, but it's a different game.
Like, I get it, but you can just.
Like, college basketball is a completely different sport than NBA.
I don't know. I think he's got great vision. I think he's got great vision.
Unbelievable vision.
And I think that's what's going to help him a lot.
He shot like 50-something% from the floor, too.
Mr. Regman says, clearly I like people who are inefficient. Mr. Regman says it's a big deal. Demo says, you guys can rock the male rompers.
Oh, thank you, Demo.
Right. Demo says, Laker fans are somewhat delusional. Yeah, which they have in common with Knicks fans. Sorry, J-Rod.
No, I agree. I agree 1,000%. I hate Knicks fans.
I think Knicks fans are less delusional than...
No. You? Okay, maybe.
The Knicks haven't won anything in 40
exactly.
years.
At least the Lakers got something.
So y'all are, you know, y'all know that you guys suck. Lakers fans still believe that
Knicks,
they don't
Knicks fans don't know that. No, they do not.
They don't know?
I mean, you had a whole smattering of Knicks fans who got excited over the signings of Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah in 2016.
Yes.
Or 2015.
Knicks fans, I can show you a bunch of tweets, whatever you want to see, thought we were going to the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
This year?
Knicks fans, yes.
I mean, there are two super teams in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Golden State and New York.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea that Knicks fans.
Just ask Derrick Rose.
Knicks fans thought they were going to Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not kidding.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi. I like that.
Oh, okay. That was me. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's you. I was like, hey, I like
that.
Fair foul or can't call it. This is the part of the show where we talk about whether these things are fair foul or we can't call it.
Let's get it.
Okay. Voice of God. Can you cue up or go ahead and play the video that we have of LeVar Ball on FS1 going off on Christine Leahy?
Have you sold any shoes yet?
Yeah, I've sold a good amount to me. Like I said, there's different amounts.
How many?
That's a
stay in your lane.
Wait, anyways, I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her over there.
Like,
every
why
time
not?
She scares
I think that's
me to
kind
death.
Of disrespectful.
She says she scares Lonzo. Lonzo's scared of me. She scares me. That's why I don't look that way. I don't look over there because she scares me. Well, I'm thinking of Saul right now.
That is not the best setup for a radio setup.
I'll tell you, 400-500 pair.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she wants behind her. I'm talking to you, Colin.
Well, what is your problem with me?
Hey, my problem is
Colin,
you are a hater. Yeah.
Why
I would
hater?
Never wear a big baller shirt. But
no,
good.
I didn't
don't
say
even
that.
Talk to me. But I heard you say I'm not even wearing.
I said that I wouldn't wear something that
it
like
says
a woman.
Big baller. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me.
Okay, so
right to say what you shirt
so that happened yesterday morning, and I would like to say that after this, people who were somewhat supportive of LeVar Ball's antics or the way he supports his son kind of turned on him.
I saw a lot of support from him, but go ahead.
No, well, I mean, no. Yeah. So is it – okay. LeVar Ball tells Christine to stay in her lane. And he also – I don't think we saw it in that segment – says that Jason Whitlock is fat. And basically, he needs to go stick to his snacks.
He said the only thing that Jason Whitlock can comment on is snacks.
It's snacks. The snack attack. I'm not laughing at that. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
We're laughing at it.
So he fat-shamed Jason Whitlock, and then he told Christine to stay in her lane and basically gave her the talk to the hand. Is this fair foul, or can we not call it? Chat room, I know y'all got lots to say about this.
Okay. I'm going to say, to me, all right, first I'm going to start with a can't call. I'm going to talk my way into an answer because I don't know what my answer is yet. But I don't know. Me personally, I wouldn't have handled myself like that. But I'm not LeVar Ball.
Which one are you? Who handled yourself like which one?
Like LeVar.
Okay.
I mean, even if I had a problem with her, I would have addressed it off camera. Or I would have done the interview professionally. But I'm not LeVar Ball. I mean, he's – that's his personality. This is what he does. I mean, I think a lot of things that he does is for show. You know what I mean? He knows what he's doing. Everything he's I think he knew that what he was going to say was going to be marketed or be played over and over again. And it's almost like the Donald Trump thing. As long as my name is in someone's mouth, I'm relevant. So I don't know. I don't think he handled it well. I don't think Chrissy realizes also that, you know, she's been saying a lot of stuff about him, and that gets back to him. So don't play total victim here. You know what I mean? Like, you said some things about this guy and he's angry at you, but at the same time, I don't know. I wouldn't have done it the way LeVar did. I wouldn't at all. I think it's insanely unprofessional. But how can you expect him to be professional?
See,
he's not the professional.
That's why I call it fair.
Okay.
Because I think if somebody who's in front of a microphone or on a camera, like we all currently are, you say things and you have to own those things. Like, for example, if Kevin Love happened to be the next guest, like we had, and he was like, "So what? You think I'm the fifth best player between Houston and Cleveland?"
I'd be like, "He said it, not me."
But I would have to. But in that moment, I have to be like, "Yeah." You know what I'm saying? It has nothing against you. It's nothing against you as a person. Nothing against you. You may be a great person, dad, father, whatever. I don't know anything about you. I talk about your game on the court. So that's where I think – that's why I say it's fair, because there's several clips that you've seen of Christine talking about him as a parent, first of all. And
that's personal.
And I get that it's a blurry line.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go there, I think – if you're going there where it's not just – FS1's a sports station. Right? All these sports stations, this is a sports show. So if you're going to talk about something that is not directly related to sports, I feel like you gotta take it.
But Christine,
if you're gonna throw punches, you gotta be ready to take it.
Yeah, but I mean your example, Kevin Love, I wouldn't expect Kevin Love to throw shade at you like
but
that.
But if he did, I have to be ready to accept that.
But Christine's – now, listen, I'm not taking up for Christine by any means. I'm like you, J-Rod. I'm going to work my way into a fair foul or can't call it answer. Christine has criticized LeVar Ball's parenting skills because his parenting skills are mutually inclusive with how he manages his son. Because as a parent and as a manager or as the mouthpiece for his son to get him to the next level, those two things are one and the same. So it's almost as if you can't criticize LeVar Ball, the person, without criticizing or without praising his parenting skills one way or the other.
All right, then he's
like a mommy dreamer, like a Kris Jenner.
In my opinion,
okay,
and which is only worth however much they're paying me to give it, which is not much.
Right.
I think if you have these complaints about a person,
okay,
or detractions against a person, if you come into contact with that person in your arena, in your show, address those first. Don't make your first question to him, how many shoes have you sold? When you've been sitting up talking about how I'm a bad dad or I'm talking about this and that, ask me, look, LeVar, I've been critical of your parenting skills in the past.
Okay.
How do you think Big Baller Brand is affecting your relationship? Go that angle. And I think if you own up to what you say, that's really the only issue that I had with the whole situation.
And on both sides. I don't even think she realized that she did that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I know she knows she criticized him, but I don't think she took it as I'm attacking LeVar personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think she took it as I'm just reporting. I'm just doing my job. And she didn't realize that LeVar is actually a person as repulsive as a lot of people might find him. But he still hears these things, and he's going to respond in the way that he sees fit.
My problem with Christine was that she said, oh, you're threatening me now. And she said that in response to when LeVar said, something's coming for you. Now, LeVar should have definitely, I think, not made it personal, but it's difficult to not make it personal when Christine has, again, been judging his parenting skills. And the reason I have a problem with Christine saying, you're threatening me, I know you guys, it always comes back down to race on this show, but it looks like... Like Hollywood Life. It looks like white girl, blonde hair, damsel in distress. I'm the victim. This big, black, threatening, menacing guy is, you know, going to come after me and attack me. That's what I didn't like about it. Now, in the moment, maybe she felt like what he was saying was a threat. But in the big scheme of things, you know he's not going to do anything to physically harm you. So I think that Christine saying, oh, you're threatening me now, is like... It's the microcosm of what we go through in America every day. White girl, blonde hair says, oh, he threatened me. Oh, he raped me. put him in jail, or he said this to me, you know, arrest him. And I know that's taking it to the far end of the spectrum.
No, but you're right. But you're right. Without knowing what she did previously to deserve that treatment, right, type of thing. And I understand it, but I don't think it excuses LeVar for acting that way on the show. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, that's LeVar.
But that's the thing. LeVar Ball's not paid to be on TV.
He's not. He's not. And she is.
He's not a personality. He is a guest.
But he treated Stephen A. Smith like that. Like, they went back and forth.
He walked out on Stephen A. Smith walking like George Jefferson. He pointed, I got something to say to you. And that was the first thing he did. That's how he started the interview.
She just wasn't ready for it. She had no idea it was coming. She didn't know that he would go after her. Because she didn't think she did anything wrong. And that's the thing.
But even if she thought that she did something wrong, I think that she thinks that she's above reproach. Because she is a woman.
I don't necessarily agree with that. So? Okay. I think if she thought she did something wrong, I think she would have took the approach that Martin said. And it would have came out with a question like, you know, I've been critical XYZ. But I don't even think that she thought her criticisms of LeVar were worth talking about, because I think she thought she was just doing her job as a sports reporter or someone with an opinion. I don't think she, like I said, I don't think she put two and two together. Like, I'm attacking this man personally. This man has feelings. This man is an actual man, and he can come onto the show and take it that way and respond to me. I don't think she thought he would take it to that level, which is crazy to me because LeVar Ball.
Because it's LeVar Ball. How the hell did you not know he was going to come over there and curse you out?
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, if you're somebody who's doing an interview and you have a hostile interviewee,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I would attempt to determine why you're not engaging me on whatever line of questioning I put forth. Josh, that's a nice gray sweater that you have there. Stay in your lane. I'm not going to ask you about your sweater again. I'm going to ask, because clearly it's not about the sweater.
Yeah.
It's clearly something that I've done
to
get you like this, or something that happened to you in your day that has you like this. It's not the sweater. It's not about how many shoes you sold.
Right.
She could have said, LeVar, how's your day going?
He's the Donald Trump of the sports world. He absolutely is. He's
1,000%. You've said that before.
He absolutely is. He just talks out of his ass. He does. He talks out of his ass to get his name out there, whatever opinion he has to say, to get on TV shows, to have the news circulating around him. I'm not saying he's a bad father. I'm not saying he's a horrible person. I'm just saying in that aspect, he is the Donald Trump of the sports world.
As far
world.
As being a showboater, I agree. But Donald Trump has a lot of other sordid shit that he does.
I'm just talking about that. We're quick to throw anybody who's just like stays. Look, anybody who makes news by being themselves, we're quick to throw in the Donald Trump.
But I think it's calculated too. I
think it's calculated as well. But I'm saying LeVar Ball's not. He's not an actor. He's not a musician. He's going on TV as LeVar Ball
to
promote himself.
Something else I tweeted. I actually wanted your opinion on this, Erica. I don't know if you saw it, but I was like, people who are sticking up for Christine. Who are sticking up for Christine are, I saw some people sticking up for Christine are the same people who voted for Donald Trump. And I'm like, well, you voted for this man who's fucking disrespecting women.
Right.
Well, during his campaign, but now you want to stick up for a woman when someone like LeVar Ball does it.
And I think
that's pretty interesting to me.
I think that the reason is because, like, Donald Trump represents white male supremacy. Christine represents what white males aspire to build their lives with. And so take LeVar out of the picture. Take the fact that LeVar and Donald Trump both may have disrespected women in public.
Yeah.
Christine Leahy is the prototype of what...
I don't think you can conflate LeVar Ball and Donald Trump's level of disrespect from women.
And that's another thing. I think Donald's was way, way worse.
Oh, yeah. But in that moment, people who look at how LeVar put his hand in Christine's face say, oh, that was disrespectful to a woman. I'm not saying that LeVar Ball was going around saying, I'm going to grab somebody's pussy. I'm saying that in that moment, on that set, it looked as if LeVar Ball had disregard for women's.
I'm just saying it's very interesting. I'm talking specifically, I can't like subtweet people, but I'm talking to people like specifically on my Facebook feed and my Twitter feed who voted for Donald Trump, who were attacking LeVar Ball for doing it. They learned damn well you voted for Donald Trump.
Real quick, chat room Demo says she rolls her eyes when she hears the name LeVar. Mr. Regman says, of course, we cannot rock some ZO2s while trying. I don't know. I missed that. Demo says, I do think Christine was reaching when she said LeVar threatened her. Demo says, LeVar's always on the defensive, which makes his interviews cringe-worthy. Mr. Regman says that it's fair. Let's run down, in case you missed it real fast, because we've got to wrap. Russell Westbrook welcomes a baby boy. In case you missed it, guys.
Congratulations, Russell.
Russell Westbrook has a baby. In case you missed it.
We didn't turn it over.
Peyton Manning. Some haters, in case you missed it. Peyton Manning is hosting this year's ESPYs. I don't know how I feel about that.
Peyton's awesome. He's a great performer.
Okay.
He's going to be good.
He's got a really great personality. Yeah, he's pretty funny.
In case you missed it, and I definitely missed this, the WNBA season started on 5/13.
Rain is not here, so no one cares.
Hey, Raina.
Wow.
Go Liberty.
No,
go Liberty.
He's not kidding. He's so serious. In case you missed it, he minds it. In case you missed it, Bleacher Report released a controversial story on Bryce DeJean Jones, which I thought was really interesting, where the guy who killed him in self-defense actually told his part of the story. I think that... Maybe we'll talk about it next week because we're running out of time. In case you missed it, Cleveland Brown wide receiver Andrew Hawkins receives his master's degree from Columbia with a 4.0 GPA. He says, I am as fast as I am smart.
And he's really effing fast.
He's very fast.
Andrew Hawkins is a pretty dope guy.
Yeah, he's
like he's a no name in the terms of the league. But if you Google him and read his Wikipedia, he's pretty cool.
Stand up.
No, and he's talented. He's just on the wrong team.
Yes. Cleveland Browns. Yeah. I don't know. Chat room.
We had a better supporting cast.
We have to wrap up. Demo says, "Congrats, Russ." I say, "Congrats, Russ."
Yeah, congrats, Russ. That's awesome.
He made second all team, right? Or first all team.
Yeah.
All those turnovers. First all team. NBA. All those turnovers.
This is the thing about MVP. It's supposed to be the one.
Sports Weekly.
The one.
MVP is completely different than
the one. First, second, third all team. You're going to be splitting hairs.
Chat room, thank you for joining us. Raina, we missed you. We did not miss talking about WNBA. Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Sports Weekly, your favorite squad. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Instastory at Erica Renee D.
Martin Weiss @_MartinWeiss.
Guys, listen, go download the Anchor app. Seriously, download the Anchor app, follow 10-Minute Drill, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. That was sloppy. See you next week.
Follow all things Black Hollywood Live on BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. Demo says, guys, rock the rompers next week, she says.
No, Demo.
I don't know if I have the body type.
Stop lying at us, Demo. We don't have the body type.
Thank you, chat room. Thank you guys out there watching. We'll see you next Thursday night at 7. Bye.
Take care.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.